the people of Thamud denied through their transgression, when the most wicked man among them went forth, but the messenger of Allah, and bore it not from having its drink. Then they denied him and they killed it. So their Lord destroyed them because of their sin and made them equal in destruction. And he feared not the consequences thereof. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. By the night as it envelops, and by the day as it appears in brightness, and by him who created male and female, certainly your efforts and deeds are diverse. And for him who gives and keeps his duty to Allah and fears him and believes in al-husna, we will make smooth for him the path of ease. But he who is greedy, a greedy miser, and thinks himself self-sufficient and gives the lie to al-husna, we will make smooth for him the path for evil. And what will his wealth benefit him when he goes down? Truly ours it is guidance, and truly unto us the last and the first. Therefore I have warned you of a fire blazing fiercely. None shall enter it save the most wretched, who denies and turns away. And al-muttaqun will be far removed from it. He who spends his wealth for increase in self-purification and have in his mind no favor from anyone for which a reward is expected in return, except only the desire to seek the countenance of his Lord, the Most High, he surely will be pleased when he will enter paradise, inshallah. Sadaqallah al-Ali al-Azim. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Just before we start, could everyone stand up and take two big steps forward?
Three.
We bought new carpets, so there's plenty of space up here, inshallah. Inshallah, on the sister's side as well. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you for joining us again on another night of our Muharram programs here at Yasin. Just a few announcements, inshallah, before we start the speech, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So just a couple of announcements. First of all, it seems like there are still a few sponsorships left to sponsor a night. If you would like to do so, please let myself know or one of the other volunteers. You could make payments either through cash, check, Zelle, and I think there's other options as well. Please ask us, inshallah, we'll let you know. There's also donation boxes in the front, inshallah, if you would like to give a donation that way. That would be much, much appreciated, inshallah. Please don't forget to recite a Fatiha for those who sponsored dinner tonight, as well as for their families and their marhumin, inshallah. Inshallah, just a quick announcement. The Sayyid actually translated a book, and it's currently on sale. It's called The Etiquettes of Spiritual Wayfaring and the Journey to God. And it's a book written by Sayyid Muhammad Jawad Waziri Farid. And alhamdulillah, the translation project was supported by Qum and a lot of the English-speaking scholars as well. I just want to read a small excerpt written on the back by a letter written by Ayatollah Saadat Parwar. He said, "I found it necessary to mention some matters that are useful for the wayfarer on his journey to God. If these are acted upon, 100-year path is traversed in a single year." SubhanAllah. So, again, this book is on sale. If you would like to purchase a copy, please let myself know or one of the volunteers, and we could provide you with one, inshallah. And please keep the Sayyid as well as whoever worked on this project in your du'as. And without further ado, One last thing. There's also a children's program upstairs, inshallah, for children from ages 4 through 8. Inshallah, next week from Thursday to Sunday, we're going to continue the children's programs. So if you would like to take advantage of that, please do. And also, if there are any parents who want to care for their children upstairs, there are TVs upstairs if you would like to listen to the speech while caring for your children. That's available as well. And without further ado, please help me invite Sayyid with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على وَعَلَىٰ أَحْلَ بَيْتَهِ طَيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ أما بعد, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. So once again, we are here to commemorate Sayyid al-Shuhada, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and those who were lucky enough to take the journey of love with him. And we're trying to attach our hearts to that caravan of love. For those of you who are just joining us tonight, what we spoke about thus far is this verse of Surah An-Kabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَسِبَ النَّاسُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they're going to be left alone to say, I believe, I'm down for the cause, I'm here for you, Imam Hussein, and they're not going to be tried? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Certainly we've tried those who came before. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Okay, and Allah's going to know who is truthful, and He's going to know who's not about it. Okay, who's a liar. And so what we're doing in these nights is we are looking at history, but we're not looking at it like fairy tales. We're looking at it in a real perspective. We're looking at it in a deep way, inshallah, as deep as we can go in the time that we have. Why? Is it so that we can criticize other people? So we can point fingers and say, look at this guy. Look at the mistakes he made. No. It's so that we can understand better our own selves. So that we can make sure we don't trip up and fall and make those same mistakes. Or we talked about the saying attributed to Imam Ali, some say to the Holy Prophet, "Tuba liman shaghalahu aibahu an ayub an-nas." It says that glad tidings or heaven for the one who is so occupied with his own faults that he's too busy to look at the faults of others. Okay, so what we're doing here in these nights is we're trying to check ourselves. Okay, it's not about pointing fingers at this person and that person and casting this person or that person to God knows where. No, Allah knows best the end of all of us. Okay. Now, you know, when we're in Qum, you know, it's a big city, but, you know, it's got tight circles, you know. And so a lot of times you get, just by chance, you run into, alhamdulillah, some great scholars. So I was once in the elevator, you know, I just walk into an elevator, and I see one of, you know, the great historians of our time, at least someone who I consider one of the great historians of the time. And I say, hey, this is my chance. I've been researching this concept of the fall of the elite and looking at these individuals in history, like, let me take a chance. You know, I got to ask him something about it. So I asked him, you know, I mentioned some of these events, individuals, you know, in the 30 seconds that I had, and I said, you know, what are your thoughts on this topic, and is there any advice that you can give me in researching and looking into this topic? And he paused for a minute, and he looked at me, and he said, the fall of the elite is the story of you. The fall of the elite is the story of me. It's the story of all of us. Okay, and this is what I've been trying to get across. That we are looking at spiritual destinies, potential spiritual destinies for each and every one of us in these nights. Yesterday, we talked about Zubair and we talked about Muslim. You have the chance to decide. Like we said, we're here. If you're in this hall tonight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. That's for sure. There's no way that you make it to a majlis, to a gathering for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in the United States of America in 2022 without Allah loving you. He loves you. Imam Mahdi is giving you individually specific attention. You, Ibrahim, you, Justin, you, everyone in here. He's giving you specific attention. Okay? We have to understand this. We have to appreciate the opportunity. We don't know if we're going to get another opportunity. You know, the other night, on the way here, I see, right as I cross the intersection, right before me, it was a huge car accident. So, subhanAllah, if that was me 30 seconds, you know, sooner I left the house, it might have been me. Right, brothers and sisters, we don't know when we're getting another chance. Okay, so tonight, we're going to continue our discussion and our look at the Battle of Jamal. Yesterday, we went over the whole story. You know what happened, you know how it ended, everything. And we talked about yesterday two individuals who, because they participated in the Battle of Jamal, they had a spiritual fall. But tonight and tomorrow, we're going to talk about two individuals who had a spiritual fall because they didn't participate in the Battle of Jamal. Okay, so you say, well, what do you mean? They stayed at home, isn't that? Yeah, that's good, right? That's better than what happened yesterday. Well, yeah, maybe it is, but Allah knows best. Let's go through it a little bit. So what are we going to talk about with each of the individuals? Three things. Anybody want to remind me? Anybody who was here yesterday? Young people? No? You're like, you're not supposed to ask questions. Bro, just keep talking, bro. Okay? All right. Because I don't want to take 50 minutes like last night, so I'm going to keep talking. Okay? Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. If I start asking questions, there'll be a lot less people tomorrow. Okay, so we're going to say, who was he? Right? We're going to say, who was this individual? What did they do? And why did they fall? Okay, so today we are talking about Sa'd. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Okay, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Who was he? First of all, we're going to look at his family. Right? Related to who? To the lady Amina, the mother of the Prophet, right? Her cousin. So again, a close familial relationship to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, but we saw yesterday, that doesn't mean anything necessarily. When did he join Islam? Was it like Zubair early on or late? Right? The same thing that we talked about with Zubair and with Talha, one of the first 10. Some say the 7th, some say the 6th. Okay, but we say he joined the ranks of the Muslims when the going was difficult, like we talked about yesterday. And here, I want to open up for about 2 or 3 minutes an important discussion, which is that, brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, because of the beauty of Islam and because of the great work of mu'mineen and mu'minat like yourselves, we see that a lot of people and a lot of sincere brothers and sisters are coming to Islam, are coming to the path of Ahlul Bayt, right? Some of you may have been amongst them. But what I've noticed in the places that I've lived is that oftentimes they are not given the attention and the support that they need once they become Muslims. And this is very important. We're out here, we're putting up the flag of Islam. We're putting up the flag of Imam Mahdi. We're putting up the flag of Imam Hussein. Right? So it's not okay for us to say, yes, we're the followers of the Sunnah of Rasulullah. But then when somebody comes and accepts, takes the Shahada and Jummah, we're all there to hug him. We're all there to slap him on the back, to give him that janamaz, that musalla, that new prayer rug. But then on a Tuesday night, on a Wednesday afternoon when something goes wrong, when he needs help, when he needs a phone call, when he needs support, we're nowhere to be found. But, hey, man, I got my family. You know, hey, well, we'll see you Thursday night, brother. Yeah. Yeah, this is not acceptable, okay? And I know I'm speaking to, you know, maybe the wrong crowd here, because this beautiful community, it probably doesn't need the reminder. But فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعْتَ الذِّكْرَ, there's benefit in reminding, even for myself, first and foremost, is that we got to make sure that when people come into Islam, we're giving them that support. Because they don't often have the same problems that someone like myself, who was born into a Muslim family, has. Right? There might be very unique problems and challenges that we have to be there for. So this was something that Sa'd faced early on. His mother wasn't happy. She said, what do you mean? What are you talking about Islam? Right? We talked about it. It wasn't cool at that time. Right? We know it's cool to be Muslim. But at that time, amongst the society, it wasn't cool. Just like right now, maybe some of us were going to school, growing up here, we might not feel like it's that cool. Right? But that's just because, you know, the society hasn't woken up to what Islam really is yet. So Sa'd had to deal with his disappointed mother. And she said, look, I'm not eating. Until you change your ways, I'm not eating, period. Okay? And look at how he handled it. He didn't turn back on his heels. He stuck with it. He had great conduct with her. And he changed her heart. Okay? Now, Sa'd was well known for his professions, or what he did. What did he do? He was, number one, a weapons maker. Okay? And secondly, he was the scribe of the Holy Prophet. Right? He was someone who was literate in a time when there wasn't a lot of emphasis on that. And these two characteristics, or these two occupations of him, they manifested themselves in different ways. As someone who was involved with making weapons, naturally, he was good with weapons. Okay, so just like we talked about with Zubair, he was well known for his chivalry on the battlefield. All right, so we see that when we talked about Uhud yesterday, we said that, you know, there's different traditions and how many people actually left the Holy Prophet. In one of those traditions, they say Sa'd was amongst those. It was 14 people, for example, that stayed, and he was amongst those. Okay? Khandaq, Khaybar, and these different things. A lot of times, we just gloss over and we're like, okay, yes, now these people, they, you know, or this individual, he lost his way later on, or he made this mistake later on. And we don't humanize it. Like, he lost a brother in the Battle of Uhud. In the Battle of Badr, right? So these are not people who are coming into Islam with, you know, some sort of hypocrisy. No, they were sincere. They were about it. And that's why it's such an important lesson for us. That's why it's so important for us to really take a deep look at their lives. Okay, and when it comes to his, you know, being a scribe or his, you know, academic prowess, right, we see that a lot of the ahadith that we have, and especially when you look at the books of Ahl Sunnah, that are related to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Hadith of Ghadir, narrated from Sa'd. Right? Hadith of Manzila. Right? Anta minni bi manzilati Harun min Musa. Right? These hadith, we see that they are narrated from Sa'd. Right? So he was someone who was right there. He was in the trenches. Right? And he was right there supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. You say, okay, well, so what? We've talked about this before. There are people that supported the Holy Prophet, but they lost the way. And for us, those followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, those who are students of Karbala, it's important about what happened afterwards, right? So what happened afterwards? We see that in those early days, those difficult times, just like we talked about yesterday with Zubair, we see that Sa'd was there in the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, I'm ready. What do we have to do? Get your rights back. Let me know. Okay? Supporter of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And what happened? As time went on, during the period of the first two caliphs, Sa'd began to gain more notoriety and prestige. Why? In large part because of his victories, the military victories that he was involved in. So when it came to the conquest of Iran, he was involved. Right? When it came to Islam spreading to China, he was involved. And because of this, he gained a lot of notoriety. And that's going to take us fast forward, from 11, the year that the Holy Prophet died, to when? To the year 23 after Hijrah. Right, where we talked about when the second Khalif died, what did he do? He left a shura. He said, look, to decide the third Khalif, we're going to do what? We're going to put 6 people in the room and you're not coming out until you guys decide. Okay, and so that's what we're going to talk about here for the next few minutes. And you send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, discussing the shura is important here. Why? Because, brothers and sisters, a lot of times we don't recognize how important one decision is. We just go through life. We don't recognize that there's one time, one decision that you could make that could change the course of history. Not just your life, but your children's lives, other children's lives, people who you care about. Okay, so tonight is an opportunity for us to be a little introspective. Think about that. Okay, so that when those moments come, when those big decisions come, we're on the right side of history. So who were the six people on this shura? Okay, so yesterday we mentioned a couple of them. Okay, we know the outcome of the shura for selecting the third khalif was what? Was that Uthman was selected as the third khalif. Okay, well, who were the potential candidates? We had Uthman, we had Imam Ali alayhi salam, we had Talha, we had Zubair, talked about those two yesterday. We had Sa'ad, and we had Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. These were the six individuals. Okay. Now we said that yesterday, we said that what happened, Zubair, even after 12 years, after the demise of the Holy Prophet and Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, what happened? Zubair is still pointing to Ali. He said, no, it's not me, I'm not the most qualified. Imam Ali is, okay? So he's not a potential candidate. Next, we see that there was a strong family relationship between Abdul Rahman and Uthman. Abdul Rahman was the son-in-law of Uthman, okay? So for that, and perhaps other reasons as well, he felt that he was going to step aside his candidacy for the sake of Uthman. Okay. Now the rules of the shura were what? What were the rules of this council? The rules of the council were that if it was 3-3, Abdul Rahman's side was going to win. This was the rule, the condition of the second khalif. Okay. So now we see we're left with Talha and with Sa'ad. Now, historically, there's some differences of opinion vis-a-vis Talha. Some reports say that he wasn't even present. He wasn't able to make it. Some reports say that he made it and he cast his ballot, or he gave up his right, or he gave up his, you know, the right that was given to him in that condition. Let me be more careful with my words. To Imam Ali alayhi salam. Right? Meaning that in that scenario, Imam Ali alayhi salam would have had how many? 3. Okay? Leading the swing vote to who? To Sa'ad. Why? Because if Sa'ad here goes and makes it 3-3, then Abdul Rahman's side is the victor according to these rules. Okay? This is one perspective. There's other perspectives on how it went down and the numbers and so on and so forth. But I'm not going to go into all that. And I'll tell you why, me personally, in my research, whatever limited research I did on this, why I feel that that is probably what occurred. Because brothers and sisters, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't do things without wisdom. And what we have historically is that Imam Ali alayhi salam took with him Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam before the shura, where? To visit Sa'ad. Why? To discuss how he was going to cast his ballot or what he was going to do. And basically to ask him, hey, look, regardless of what you decide, our request is that you don't cast your ballot for Uthman. This is what some of our historical reports say. Now, let's stop and think about that for a second. An infallible imam takes with him two other infallible imams. I don't know of another time in history where we can say three infallible imams went to try to discuss a matter with an individual and convince them of something. If they were going to go through that difficulty, if they were going to go through that process, would they have done so if there was no hope in their minds of convincing him? Or if they saw no potential for this individual? Right? We talked about yesterday how at the end of the battle of Jamal, Imam Ali is still sending messengers and is still himself trying to go to talk to Zubair. But he wasn't trying to talk to Talha. You see? So this is why I see history having unfolded this way. Okay. So what does Sa'd do? Princess, this is an important lesson for us. A lot of times we are guilty of the same line of thinking, which is that when we come across a difficult situation, obviously we need to take consultation. Obviously we need to reflect deeply, right, as people who are more knowledgeable than us, so on and so forth. But we can't shy away from making unpopular decisions. We can't run away from our responsibilities. What does Sa'd do here? He says, look, I personally, he goes and tells Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman was his cousin. He says, Abdurrahman, look, let me break this down for you. Personally, I prefer Imam Ali. But I'm going to defer my decision. I'm going to give my vote to you, whatever you decide. You see? So what does Abdurrahman do with the two votes? The rest is history. Okay? And Uthman becomes the third Khalif. Brothers and sisters, if we just reflect on this one decision, would we have had a battle of Jamal if Sa'd had decided differently? Allahu A'lam. Would we have had a battle of Siffin? Would we have had Nahrawan? Would we have had Karbala? Allah knows best. The condition and the situation was very different if Imam Ali alayhi salam had come to the seat of Khilafah, I won't say power, would have come to that seat in that position after 12 years rather than after 25 years. Allah knows best. But again, the lesson here is the far-reaching implications for one decision. Right? And it's something that we see over and over and over. When we talk about Hazrat Hur here, you know, inshallah, tomorrow, we'll see the same thing. One decision, one moment. It's going to happen for you. It's going to happen for me. We all have an opportunity. Choose your own destiny. Write your own story. Okay? Now, what happened after this incident? Okay, so now let's fast forward to when Imam Ali alayhi salam becomes the Khalif. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The Battle of Jama. Imam Ali is beginning to gather the troops. Remember, Sa'd is not just a regular, average, you know, Joe Muslim here. He's someone who was the first 10 Muslims. He was somebody who was leading conquests, victories. In that society, you can think of him as how we look at a great scholar, a marja, someone like that, you know, plus a military commander. Okay? They come and they tell him that Sa'd is not going to be marching with you. Imam Ali says, Sa'd, what's the deal? What's going on? He says, أَعْتَنِي سَيْفًا يَعْرَفُ الْكَافِرْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He says, give me a sword that can help me distinguish between a kafir and a mu'min, and I'm with you. Saying that I'm not going to put myself in this situation where it's Muslims fighting Muslims. Remember, we talked about how this was the first time that occurred. Look at Imam Ali's response, a Quranic response. Brothers and sisters, we have to attach our hearts to the Holy Quran. We have to remember that these things are not going to separate. Meaning that if we feel that we're with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, but we're not with the Holy Quran, just know that whatever we're with, it's not the real Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Because these things never separate. The same way those who think that they're with the Quran, but they're not with Ahlul Bayt, that's not the real Quran that they're with. Okay? Look at what Imam Ali says. He says from Surah Hujarat, he says, فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاحُمَا عَلَىٰ أُخْرَىٰ فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي. This is a very clear Quranic prescription. He says, first of all, try to bring peace between Muslims if they're fighting. If one of them is wrong, if one of them is in the wrong, if one of them is oppressing others, then you oppose those who are the oppressors. It's very clear. Imam Ali says, I'm here, I'm rightfully in this position, and these people are wrongfully going against me. It's a clear situation. You know, when you see how this is portrayed historically, You know, I was listening to one of the big, you know, well-known ulama from Ahl Sunnah in the United States here, and his speech on Sa'd. And when he gets to this point, it's very interesting how he paints the picture. He says that when Sa'd, when he left, he avoided all politics and negativity. You know? See how they paint the picture, brothers and sisters? The same thing's happening today. You know, X, Y, and Z group, X, Y, and Z nation, they're causing trouble. You know? And the propaganda is so serious that oftentimes we'll fall for it ourselves. The Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen will fall for it. Right? We have to be careful. Okay? So, Sa'd doesn't attend the battle. Okay? And this had ramifications, social ramifications. And what I want to mention and go into here, you know, for the last few minutes before we move on to the musibah and before we go to the lessons, is that it wasn't just, you know, like my son says, you know, bad guy. Okay? It's more complicated. Like we talked about, people are complicated. Okay, so look at some of these stories that we see from later on in Sa'd's life. Okay? Muawiyah, around the time of the Battle of Jamal, he writes a letter to Sa'd. And he says, look, this was excellent what happened. And, you know, Ali was in the wrong. And the best thing is that those people who are the Ahl Shura, they take the matters into their own hand and you decide amongst yourself who should be the ruler. See, what does Sa'd say in response? Does he say, yeah, you know, you're right. Hey, look what Sa'd says. He says, it would have been better if those two had stayed in their home. He said, don't even start to compare any of us to Ali. Remember, this is the same Sa'd who didn't give his vote for Ali in the Shura. But look what he says in reply. People are complicated. We're all complicated. Okay? Now on the other side, let's move to the Battle of Siffin, which we're going to talk about in a couple of nights here. Battle of Siffin, Imam Ali's in the same position. Now he's in the masjid. There's people who had never seen him at Badr. They had never seen him at Uhud. He's rallying the troops, okay? Around this time, he's mentioning this famous statement. And I told Jawadi Amuni, his commentary on Nahjul Balagha is titled this, Suluni qabla an tafqiduni, ask me before you lose me. Okay? Imam Ali says this, who is it that interrupts that beautiful gathering and that says, how many hair are on my head? Ibn Abi Talib, Sa'd. And what did Imam Ali alayhi salam say in response? He said, Sadaqa Rasulullah. He said, the Holy Prophet, it was truthful. Because he told me you were going to say this. And he told me that in your home is the killer of his grandson. Because brothers and sisters, why do we know the name Sa'd in the story of Karbala? We know it because of who his son was. Someone who we're going to be talking about in a couple of nights. See, brothers and sisters, our spiritual falls, our spiritual slips, they don't just affect you. They don't just affect I. If I think that I'm having the tawfiq to recite a majlis despite my bad voice and my bad oratory skills and all my shortcomings and all my sins in life, if I think it's something special I did, I'm kidding myself. It's because of my mother maybe, my grandmother, my great-great-grandfather maybe, that I'm having this tawfiq. Maybe somewhere along the line, maybe. With me, probably not. But maybe we did something good that gave us the tawfiq to be here. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, we're benefiting from the deeds of others, the prayers of others. Okay? So we have to always remember that. When you're making the wrong decision, don't fall into this American individualistic perspective. You're affecting perhaps a generation, perhaps generations that are going to come. Again, the complexity. Okay, look at this one. We have this, I had to go and see this myself. You know, when I see some of these things in our books, alhamdulillah, I trust our books. But I say, look, to be fair, to be academic, I have to go see it in the books of the brothers of Ahlul Sunnah. So I went to Sahih Muslim, I picked it up, I looked, I said, is this hadith really in there? Okay, Or Muawiyah says to Sa'd, why don't you curse Amir al-Mu'mineen? This is after the death of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So what do we learn from this? Right? In Usul, we have the mafhum and the mantuq. Right? What do you see from the apparent statement and what is hidden behind it? Right? What do we see? If Muawiyah is saying, why don't you curse Amir al-Mu'mineen? What does that mean is happening? What does that mean that Muawiyah is pushing? Right? This is a question for our brothers of Ahlul Sunnah. This is one of your four khulafa. Right? What did he say in response? He said that I can't do that because of three reasons. Because of three things I heard from the Holy Prophet. And he mentions Hadith Manzala, right? Anta minni. He mentions the story of Khaybar and how the Holy Prophet gave him the standard. And he mentions Mubahila, the verse of Mubahila. Right? Very clearly. This is so many years after. Right? A complex individual. There's a last story I'll mention from his life. Is we see that when Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, one time they're on Hajj. It says that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, they were walking. And it says that all the people got off their rides, their horses or camels or whatever, hatta Sa'd. Even Sa'd got off. Showing that even Sa'd respected Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Sa'd with that social position, even he got off. Even he respected Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein that much. You see, sisters, people are complicated, okay? And so we see that he had this fall. Right? Allah knows best the ending of each of us. But this is definitely a spiritual fall. Someone who was with Amir al-Mu'mineen in the house in that very difficult time after the death of the Holy Prophet. But he's not in Jaman. Right? Imagine the difference. Just look at how Umar ibn Sa'd would have looked at his father perhaps. If Sa'd had been Shaheed in the Battle of Jaman. Ya Allah. May have changed the course of history. We don't know. Okay? Why did he fall? What do our ulama say? So some say that there was this issue of hasad, of jealousy. Sa'd was a few years older than Amir al-Mu'mineen. And like we said, it's not easy. Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know. When you ask the urafa, they say Amir al-Mu'mineen. When you ask the athletes, they say Amir al-Mu'mineen. When you ask the warriors, they say Amir al-Mu'mineen. When you ask the logicians, they say Amir al-Mu'mineen. When you ask the philosophers, they say Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, I'm reading a book right now, all from sources from Ahl al-Sunnah, not written by someone who's Shia Ithna Ash'ari. Everything's from Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, it's for us, we say Amir al-Mu'mineen. For somebody who's a few years older, who came up with him, it's a difficult test, like we talked about yesterday with Shaykh Kulaini. Not everybody has that. Okay, so some people say this, and they point to a specific story whereby the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he saw this in Sa'd, and he mentioned it to Sa'd. So some people mention that this may have been a reason. But what I want us to take away from this, brothers and sisters, is that sometimes all it takes is that one spiritual illness. You might have it in every other place. You might have conquered everything. But you struggle, let's say, with the opposite gender. You struggle, let's say, with controlling your tongue. You struggle. Right? So we have to take our spiritual ailments seriously. And now you say, okay, Ali, that's great, man. Keep that stuff, you know, wayfaring and spirituality and all that stuff, man. Keep that stuff in Qom and Najaf, man. Come on, now, that's America. Bro. We in Hollywood out here. Like, come on, what are you talking about? You see? The reason why sometimes it seems like such a huge obstacle is because how we are approaching our spiritual ailments. Okay? And I mentioned this example somewhere, so I apologize if it's a repetition for someone. But, you know, it's like, you know, in Dearborn, you know, Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani, he was gracious enough to give me an office to study in for the last couple months, you know, at his institute. And so, you know, I was in the office, and like one day, my two-year-old, you know, I give him a red marker, okay? And I'm like, you know, I got this bulletin board, you know, we have classes and stuff. And I say, here's this marker, you know, keep yourself busy so I can study for my, you know, my exam or whatever it was. Prepare for these speeches. And like, you know, literally like 10 seconds later, I turn around and, you know, of course, there's like a red marker on the wall. Yeah. Now, look, would it have been smarter for me to have spent time and been like, look, Ali, you're 2 years old, but let me break this down for you. You know, we have this board and we have the wall. Okay. We write on the board, not, you know, or would it have been better for me to remove the maudu, remove the subject, the problem. Just take the marker out of his hand, right? Or give him one of those, you know, erasable markers. What are those? Those magic markers. What are they called? The mother, every mother in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? You know, the brothers too, inshallah. You know, you got to be supportive. You got to be there, right? But those markers that don't actually write on anything but the paper, right? So I should have given one of those. This is what we have to do when it comes to spirituality and taking away our spiritual ailments, right? So the father of Sayyid Ali Qadi, he was also a great scholar, a great adif. He said, "Da' nafsaka wa ta'al." He said, forget your nafs and come. Forget yourself and come. This is the secret. You see, jealousy comes, or me feeling jealous, you know, I say, man, I love that hat. The hat's on point right there. I wish I had the hat. Why has he got that hat? Right? I love that shirt. Right? You see, there's an I involved. Why did he get it and not me? You see? If there's no I in the picture, then that problem never comes. So, alhamdulillah, Allah gives to someone else. If Allah gives me, alhamdulillah. Right? It's not about me. Right? It's about Him. Okay, so this is something that we can take away from this. Another point I want to mention is that sometimes we fall into this problem, brothers and sisters, because of social media. Okay, we got to be cognizant. Right? Social media is dangerous. Okay? And we're seeing now as time goes on, right? In the first few years, it was like, oh, it was all good, man. Alhamdulillah, my friend from high school, middle school, hey, man. But now we're seeing the social problems that are coming up, the marriage problems that are coming up, psychological problems that are coming up, mental health problems that are coming up, spiritual problems that are coming up, okay? That doesn't mean that we don't use it, but it means that we understand what we're using, okay? So these are some points that I thought we could take away from the life of Sa'd. And like we mentioned, brothers and sisters, our falls, our slips, they impact us all. And we're talking about here a friend of Amir al-Mu'mineen, someone who is a few years older, you know, like a big brother to Amir al-Mu'mineen. But he wasn't able to last to the end. And this is where we see the beauty of the shuhada in Karbala. Because they were able to last to the end. Brothers and sisters, if you're fasting and you break your fast and you open your fast in the first minute or the last minute, either way, you haven't completed the task. And this is the truth and the reality for each of us. We're waiting for an imam. We're supporters of an imam. But if we lose the way, whether it's today or whether it's the day before we die, we haven't completed that task. What we want, our youth, what we want for our elderly, what we want for our women, what we want for our children, is to be like those in Karbala. That it doesn't matter who's in front of you. It doesn't matter what's in front of you. They sliced me to pieces, that's okay. They didn't like what I said on YouTube, that's okay. We're there to the last minute. We're there to the last day. We're there to the last breath. And this was Habib. This was this older brother to Imam Hussein. This was that companion of Imam Hussein. This was that 75-year-old man who he said, it doesn't matter, I'm here till the last breath. So tonight, brothers and sisters, let's get to know this Habib. Let's learn from our shuhada. He was a companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was a companion of Imam Hassan. He was a companion of Imam Hussein. I remember a few years back, I was in Karbala. I was at the grave of Habib. It's a separate grave, if you recall, for those of you who have gone, for those of you who haven't, inshallah, next year we go together. But if you look inside on his grave, there's written there the letter that Imam Hussein had written to him. And Imam Hussein calls Habib and refers to him as a faqih. As someone with deep knowledge. This is what we're looking for, brothers and sisters. Whatever amount of knowledge we have, it's okay. But let's have some depth to that knowledge. Because it's that depth, that ma'rifah, that's going to be allowing us to connect our hearts to the shuhada. Allowing us to connect our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was in Kufa. He was one of those who sent that letter to Imam Hussein, who signed those letters for Imam Hussein, saying, come to us. The trees, the fruits, they've ripened. We're ready for you. We're not going to make the same mistake that was made with Imam al-Mu'mineen in Jaman, in Siffin. Especially in Siffin. We're not going to make the same mistake that happened with Imam Hassan. We're going to be there with you to the last breath. They signed those letters, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, imagine you call someone to your home. How do you feel? How should you treat them? Imagine if they're being attacked. How would you feel? This was Habib. His heart was burning. He saw what happened to Muslim, as we spoke about yesterday. So what did he do? He sought refuge. He hid. He escaped. He found a way. Brothers and sisters, when your hearts are attached to the Imam of your time, the Imam of your time will open doors for you. For you to come to him. And this is what happened with Habib. And this is what can happen to you. And this was what can happen to me. He reached Karbala. He reached Karbala when the tents were surrounded. But again, Allah opens the door for those who deserve shahada. Imam Hussein, look at this. This is what we learned from yesterday's story. Leadership, position, who the Ahlul Bayt give it to. He gave the left wing of his army, the command, to a 75-year-old man. This was Habib. Someone who deserved one of those three positions in Karbala. Someone came, they saw Imam Hussein praying. They shouted at him. There's no benefit in your prayers, O Hussein. And look at the ghayra of Habib. He went after him, knocked him off his horse. They say that Habib fought so gallantly, 62 people, it's recorded, that he struck down. You know, my father, may Allah protect him and preserve him, my father is 75 years old. When I think of a 75-year-old man, on horseback, in armor, thirsty, surrounded by enemies, striking down 62 of them, people in their 20s and 30s who are thirsty for blood. Look at the faith of Habib. When his brother, Muslim, Ibn Osaja, his close friend, was cut down, he went to him. We're in Karbala, brothers and sisters. Take your hearts to Karbala. Imagine you're there, sitting in the haram of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He's invited us tonight. You don't get to just remember Hussein. The tears don't just come to anyone. They don't come for sinners like me. Put your heart in Karbala, brothers and sisters. He says, Muslim, Ibn Awsaja, what is your last will? I know I can't do much for you. I can't do much for you here. But tell me if there's something I can fulfill. You've been loyal to us. You've been loyal to Ahlul Bayt. Muslim points to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He says, this is my will. He says, stay with him. Support him till your last blood. The last drop of blood. Habib goes into the battlefield. He says, you are superior in number, but we are superior in loyalty. This is the key right here. This is the key for us, brothers and sisters. That's why we're only waiting for 313. They're surrounding him now. 75 years old. Someone who sat with Amir al-Mu'mineen. Nice. You know, I think back to all of the things that must have hurt Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is why they call him the most oppressed. You see, it hurts when your enemy comes and strikes you in your back, in the back of your head, brothers and sisters. That hurts. But I wonder if for Amir al-Mu'mineen, it hurt more to know that Sa'd wouldn't be joining him in Jamal, or that Habib would be alone in Karbala with many of his own warriors from the Battle of Siffin on the other side. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. They surrounded him, they hit him on the head, the blood started to flow from one side, from another side. He's 75 years old. Finally, there were too many, even for a warrior like him. He falls down. And who comes to his aid? Who risks it all to come to his aid? To try to reach him? It's Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. How much must he have been pained? A friend who he had called now, who he had sent a letter to, said, "You come and join me in Karbala." Imam Hussein was in so much pain here from what he saw. He said, "I will be patient over this calamity." But Habib, Imam Hussein could be patient over your calamity. But patience has its limit. They say that later on, when the heads were taken to Kufa, the head of Habib was placed on that spear, and it was placed in Kufa. And a boy came, and he looked at that head, and he was staring at that head with love. One of the enemies, he said, "Who are you? Why are you looking at the head like this?" And the boy said, "This is the head of my father." He began to weep, perhaps. But brothers and sisters, when this son of Habib looked at this head, he could walk away. But I ask you, what about the daughters of Hussein? When they're going from Karbala to Kufa, and Kufa to Sham, and the heads of their fathers are right before their eyes. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيُّ مَنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ بِكَ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ يَا اللَّهُ بِمُحَمَّدٍ بِعَلِي بِفَاتِمَةٍ بِالْحَسَنِ بِالْحُسَيْنِ. Oh Allah, we ask you for the sake of the pure blood of Habib, to forgive our parents, to forgive our teachers, to forgive anyone who taught us a word in Islam. O Allah, we ask you, for the sake of Sayyid al-Shuhada, to accept this azadari from us and to allow us to be on the Husseini path until the end of our lives. O Allah, we ask you, for the sake of Fatima al-Zahra, to hasten the reappearance of the Imam and to make us his helpers when he comes. Wa akhira da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Assalamu alaykum ya Aba Abdullah. على الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعل الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى وعلى أصحاب الحسين إذا شئت النجاة فزر حسينا لكي يتلقى الإله قرير عيني. فإن النار ليس تمس جسما عليه غبار زوار الحسين. عطروا مجلسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. وقف الزمان على ضريحك سائلا ما السر فيك كل يوم يخطر. دعب الخزاعي رحمة الله عليه. والناس تبكي بالمجالس كلما اسم الحسين على المنابر يذكر. والمجد لا يهوى البقاء بمعزل بل كان فيك المجد دوما يفخر. أنت الذي أبقيت دين محمد ووهبت رب العرش طفلا ينحر. قف يا زمان الآن فخرا وانحني هذا الذي أفنى ملوكا سيطر. باق على مر السنين وكلما ينهار جيل ألف جيل يظهر. هذا الحسين وكم حسين عندنا ما بال هذا الجهل منا يسخر. أفلا يرون برغم كل جهودهم حب الحسين بكل قلب يكبر. فهو السبيل إلى محبة ربنا ينجينا من نار جحيم تسعر. هذا الحسين وبالحسين عزنا هذا الحسين وبالحسين فخرنا. صلوا على محمد. Please, everyone, stand up. Thank you.
زينب يا بنت النبي جئناك زوار. زينب يا بنت النبي جئناك زوار. نشكو لك سيدتي فعلت الأشرار. نشكو لك سيدتي فعلت الأشرار. زينب يا بنت النبي جئناك زوار. زينب يا بنت النبي جئناك زوار. نشكو لك سيدتي فعلت الأشرار. نشكو لك سيدتي أشرار. زينب يا بنت النبي جئناك زوار. زينب يا بنت النبي نشكو لك سيدتي فعلت الأشرار. نشكو لك سيدتي يا بنت خير الأوصية زينب الحوراء، يا بنت خير الأوصية زينب الحوراء، قد حل في شيعتك محنة كبرى، قد حل في شيعتك محنة كبرى. زينب يا بنت النبي جئناك زوار، زينب يا بنت النبي نشكو لك سيدتي فعلات الأشرار، نشكو لك سيدتي فعلات الأشرار. يا زينب لن ننساك يوم عاشورا، يا زينب لن ننساك يوم عاشورا، تندو بأخاك الحسين مهلا مهلا، تندو بأخاك الحسين مهلا مهلا، مهلا مهلا، مهلا مهلا، مهلا مهلا يا ابن الزهراء، مهلا مهلا يا ابن الزهراء. زينب يا بنت النبي جئناك زوار، زينب يا بنت النبي نشكو لك سيدتي فعلات الأشرار، نشكو لك سيدتي فعلات الأشرار. يا زينب لن ننساك يوم عاشورا، يا زينب لن ننساك يوم عاشورا، تندو بأخاك الحسين مهلا مهلا، تندو بأخاك الحسين مهلا مهلا، مهلا مهلا، مهلا مهلا، مهلا مهلا يا ابن الزهراء، مهلا مهلا يا ابن الزهراء. زينب يا بنت النبي جئناك زوار، زينب يا بنت النبي جئناك زوار، نشكو لك سيدتي فعلات الأشرار، نشكو
كربلاء كربلاء كربلاء، اللهم ارزقنا كربلاء
كربلاء،
اللهم ارزقنا كربلاء كربلاء كربلاء، اللهم ارزقنا كربلاء
كربلاء،
اللهم ارزقنا از کوچیکی عشق تو شد برا دلم بهونه ای، اونقدر عاشقت شدم همه میگن دیوونه ای، اون زمانا تو میدیدم دلم اسیر ماتمه، صدای تو دلم میگفت بیا که باز محرم که
کربلا،
اللهم ارزقنا کربلا، از کوچه های عشق تو خاطره ها تو سرمه، از کوچه های عشق تو خاطره ها تو سرم لباسی ما میبینی این هدیه مادرم لباسی ما میبینی هدیه مادرم بازم صدا ای تو دلم میگه به هار ماتم لباسیامو بیارین ماه خدا محرم کربلا اللهم ارزقنا کربلا 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 یه دل دارم مان تو همیشه دوم بان تو از اون قدیم وابسته سیاهی شال تو دلی که مست عشق توست خسته از این زمونه شد بوی محرم و شنید یه بار دیگه دیوونه شد کربلا 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 اللهم ارزقنا کوچیک بودم مادرمو هرس تو گردنم میکرد وقتی محرم میامد لباسی تنم میکرد بزرگترای من منو به مجلس تو برده اند هوامو داشته باش آقا منو به تو سپرده اند الغم اللهم ارزقنا الغم اللهم ارزقنا کربلا اللهم ارزقنا کربلا کربلا کربلا
کربلا کربلا کربلا لا اله الا الله لا اله الا الله محمدن رسول الله لا اله الا الله محمدن رسول الله علی ولی الله علی ولی الله علی ولی الله نود علی یا مظهر عجائب نود علی یا مظهر العجائب تجده هم نلکف نواهب کل هم و غم سینجلی کل هم و غم سینجلی به عظمت که به عظمت که به نبوت که به ولایت که علی 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 علی
Ali, 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 Ali,
يا رب الحسين حق الحسين اشف صدر الحسين بظهور الحجة يا رب الحجة بحق الحجة اشف صدر الحجة بظهور الحجة صلوات الله صلى على محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك يا وارث دم صفوة الله السلام عليك يا وارث نوح النبي الله السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام السلام عليك يا ابن محمد المصطفى السلام عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره هو الوتر الموتور أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين فلعن الله أمة قتلت ولعن الله أمة ظلمت ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من مدلهمات ثيابها وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين وأشهد أنك الإمام البر التقي الرضي الزكي الهادي المهدي وأشهد أن الأئمة من ولدك كلمة التقوى وأعلام الهدى والعروة الوثقى والحجة على أهل الدنيا وأشهد الله وملائكته وأنبياءه ورسله أني بكم مؤمن وبإيابكم موقن بشرائع ديني وخواتيم عملي وقلبي لقلبكم سين وأمري لأمركم متبع صلوات الله عليكم وعلى أرواحكم وعلى أجسادكم وعلى أجسامكم وعلى شاهدكم وعلى غائبكم وعلى ظاهركم وعلى باطنكم بأبي أنت وأمي يا ابن رسول الله بأبي أنت وأمي يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت
المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل السماوات والأرض. فلعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتهيأت لقتالك. يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله قصدت حرمك، أسأل الله بالشأن الذي لك عنده وبالمحل الذي لك لديه أن يصلي على محمد وآل محمد، وأن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. دعاء الفرج إن شاء الله. فرج. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آله في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا وجليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والأموات الحاضرين والحاضرات ومن مات على الإيمان، رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Brothers and sisters, may all our du'as and amal be accepted in these blessed nights, inshallah, in this blessed month, inshallah. One announcement, quick announcement, is inshallah, the tabarruk, the dinner, will be served on your way out. It's packed and ready to go. We won't be having it passed out like we have in the past few nights, inshallah. Yeah, if you want to eat inside, you're welcome to come and eat inside, but we won't be having everyone seated and pass it out. Before I end, please recite a Fatiha for the family that provided the tabarruk for tonight and their marhumin, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم.